episode 24. We actually do not have a guest today, so we just have the three of us.
Yes.
So my
nobody cared.
Right, exactly. I am Preston Muhammad. This is my co-host Tina McDowell.
Hello there.
My other co-host Antoine Cowan.
Sup.
Oh, you are today.
I'm hard today.
We don't have a guest. He's hard today.
Gangster okay. Today, nigga.
Hilaire. Our featured artist is, you want to know?
Benjamin Clementine.
You will hear more about him in the music segment. Okay, so very cool. We actually messed housekeeping and weekly hot topics together today because last week we talked a little bit about... Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, very, very quickly. Last week we mentioned that on the Sparkle film, the original film, that the song...
Giving him something he can feel.
Was the lead vocals were not Iron Cara, though. The lead vocals were Lynette McKee.
Oh, yeah. Now that, yeah,
I just wanted to correct that.
Yeah,
the lead
yeah.
vocals okay. were Lynette McKee, and mm-hmm. backup vocals were...
You know I've never seen Sparkle.
Me neither.
I know.
I haven't seen it either.
I know that's bad.
Oh!
Really?
And I feel bad, too, because I have to reorganize my records because I have the Sparkle album. I think from now on, when we talk about something, if I have the album, we're going to pull that motherfucker out. Because it's graphically, it's just exciting to see that.
I need both for y'all. To see Sparkle,
yes,
the original.
Yeah. Okay. Me and Tanya will have a date night and we go watch it one night.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll bring the wine and the wine and the wine.
Will you hold my hand?
Of course.
Okay.
So today's episode is going to be a little bit more freeform. Whatever, okay? So, Edward Snowden.
First of all, I want to know why you're so obsessed with Edward Snowden.
Because every week, I'm like, I don't give a damn. It's like, where's Waldo, but we don't know where he is.
Right.
Right, anyway.
But we made progress this week.
Like, a little bit.
Yeah,
little
he gets progress. To leave the airport.
Well, so Russia is like, you can go ahead and come into Russia. And Eric Holder is like, we're not feeling that.
Right.
Eric Holder wrote a letter
yeah.
and said, look, we will not torture him.
We won't kill him. We won't torture him. I'm like, really? Is this for real? I thought it was a joke.
The funniest part of the letter was, there's a rumor going around that he can't fly anywhere. He was like, he can fly his ass back to the United States.
So
no problem.
The exact quote is, he is eligible for a limited validity passport, good for direct return to the United States. And the United States is willing to immediately issue a passport to Mrs. Snowden.
That shit was hilarious.
I always think that the government and Congress are so progressive and smart, but listening or reading that letter, I was like, this is childish.
It was real. I agree with you, Tanya. It was.
We won't torture you or kill
yeah.
you. Come on back.
But I think that spoke to, and I didn't get a chance to investigate this a little bit farther, but I think part of it was that they're like, this is how we're going to get him into Russia, is by saying we're concerned about his well-being mm-hmm. if he goes back to the U.S. So I think this letter was sort of just the paperwork that needs yeah. to be put out there.
Yeah, like, they had to send it yeah. because for asylum, you have to prove that, you know, in some way your life is in danger, you're going to
yes,
be prosecuted in
you.
Some unfair way. So that's what he's selling to the Russians. And
right.
Eric Holder basically said, look, we know how asylum works. We wouldn't go murder the nigga. He has to go through a trial like
yes.
anybody else. But we all know what's going to happen.
Right. So then the last thing I wanted to say is that the Kremlin spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, maybe, restated Russia's refusal to extradite Mr. Snowden, citing the lack of an extradition treaty between the two countries.
Yeah.
We have never surrendered anyone, he said in a statement, and we will never do so in the future.
Wow.
But the thing is, though, they're like, he can't stay here, though.
It's right.
Like,
he's got to figure something out. Yeah.
Is it me or is Eric Holder cute? I think he's kind of cute. Did you notice that? You've noticed.
He's like, average looking to me.
He's kind of cute.
Yeah. I'm trying to think almost in a, you know what he reminds me a little bit of is Stedman. Like,
Oprah, yes.
A little bit. Stedman got a longer face,
yeah.
but they got the little mustache.
I think he's a cuter
I like a mustache.
Yeah, I love facial hair. It's very primal. Mm-hmm. I love it.
So, last week we also...
Sit on my face.
Yes. Yes. My mother loved the show. She watched it last week.
Great.
I don't know if I can...
Last week,
hi, Mom.
We also talked about Jenny McCarthy will be replacing Elizabeth Hasselbeck on The View. And I brought up Jenny McCarthy and her views on autism.
Yeah.
So... And you guys were like, the extra part of it, like maybe her son never had autism stuff. So I
right.
did a bunch of, I linked to a bunch of articles mm-hmm. this week for...
I read all of them.
A little bit more exploration on that. So one CNN article says this. She has repeatedly claimed that vaccines played a major role in giving her son autism, that he recovered from autism thanks to a special diet, and that the government and medical establishment did not bother to investigate her son's recovery. She argues that we vaccinate too quickly, too much, and that the research on a link between autism and vaccines should continue. Her charity, which is Generation Rescue, continues to question the safety of vaccines and sponsors events starring anti-vaccine advocates such as Andrew Wakefield, who was a disgraced British doctor. So because there was a bunch of outpouring of people online, like mad opinions on CNN, all the kind of like major, actually, I think, media outlets saying we don't want her on The View because of her stance.
I love Jenny McCarthy. I absolutely love her. I have to say that initially, when people first brought up the idea that we vaccinate too much, my intuition agreed. I was like, I think we do. And I don't know if everything's tested. I think that a lot of times pharmaceutical companies are trying to make money. I think that there's a lot of factors that go into it. But then I talk to my mother, I talk to a lot of other women. They're like, we fought for the rights for you to be able to get vaccinated. I get that. I understand that. I think that it's case by case. Some kids need some things, some kids don't. I think to say that blanketly every kid is supposed to have X, Y, and Z, it's probably not the case, because it's just not the case in life that every kid is supposed to have all of these things.
But isn't it for, I think, with something as serious as vaccinations, I think they understand what you're saying. And what the problem is, I think what has to be understood is, yes, I mean, and this is something nobody ever wants to talk about. Some kids are going to have adverse reactions to vaccinations. But when you look at the greater good, the kids are going to be saved from disease. If you look at it from a numbers perspective, then it makes perfect sense.
So to that point, numbers, 2.5 million deaths a year are prevented due to vaccinations against just four diseases. Mm-hmm. Diphtheria, tetanus,
polio,
and measles.
Measles,
polio.
Polio has just been eradicated.
As well as smallpox because of vaccinations. Now, I tend to come out fairly... Initially, only because of Jenny McCarthy's background, I'm like, you're not a scientist, you're not a doctor.
Right.
So I was kind of like, your child had autism, and you thought your child was autistic. Yeah. That sense has been like the thing is like
they think he had another. It was a syndrome. I forget what it's called.
Landau-Kleffner.
Yeah, it was a really weird name.
But it's a rare childhood neurological disorder that can also result in speech impairment.
Yeah.
And possible long term neurological damage. So. Yeah, they think it was that and not.
And she reversed. Now that one you said, it says she reversed her stance, which I was shocked to read.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, she reversed her stance on autism. She acknowledged basically that her son may not have had it, but she said, I still support the movement that I started.
And she said she now wants vaccinations to be better researched, which, and you know, already know kind of how I feel about it. I'm like, no, I think kids should be vaccinated. But I will say this.
They can be healthier. I mean, there are things they can do to make them
and I think
maybe have fewer. Adverse reactions. I'm sure there are things they could do to bring those small numbers down.
I need to hear about the kids that haven't been vaccinated. I need to hear if they start getting diseases and dying off. Like, I haven't heard anyone.
The argument is that doesn't happen because everybody else has been vaccinated and they're protected because the other kids can't carry anything. And the thing is, the way it's looked upon is if your child isn't vaccinated and something enters the environment, they become a threat at that point, because if they get sick, now they can carry something to spread it to other kids who weren't vaccinated. So to
your point, but pockets of vaccine resistance remain. Last year, the worst whooping cough epidemic in decades hit the U.S., centered on Washington and Oregon, a relative hotbed of anti-vaccination activity. And a measles epidemic in the U.K. last year was also pegged to the anti-vaccine movement. And there was an issue in Southern California, especially at private schools where a lot of more well-off parents are not vaccinating their kids.
I remember reading
and there's
about
a larger
that.
Pool of them. So to your point, and there was a kid that
spreads
came
spreads like wildfire.
Right. And they came from, I think, Switzerland, or they came from a European country where people had not been vaccinating their kids.
They were on like a family vacation.
Right. The little boy had measles, went to school. Half his class got measles because half his class had also not been vaccinated.
They didn't die, right? As long as no one died.
Right.
Okay. You can die from measles.
I know,
though.
But the thing is,
had that little boy been vaccinated, then that whole epidemic would not have happened.
But we don't know the other things that it is causing that you don't know about. Like maybe those kids that aren't getting vaccinated in that school, maybe they're brighter or they're this or that. I don't know. Or healthier in other areas. We don't know that.
So, but to your point, I want to say this is what Jenny McCarthy said. I'm not co-signing on that. Yeah. Jenny says, this is a statement she did make at one point. I do believe, sadly, that it's going to take some diseases coming back to realize that we need to change and develop vaccines that are safe. If you give us a safe vaccine, we'll use it. It shouldn't be polio versus autism. So here's what I want to say is I've talked to a relative at home whose opinion I trust. And she did say that she thinks it just on her own. So one thing I did notice that I think is different from when we got vaccinated is now they do this like booster shot where you have the mumps, measles, rubella shot is one.
Yeah.
As opposed to we just
separate.
Got,
we had
yeah,
separate
we got
shots.
Measles. Then we got mumps. Yeah. So I do think
and they did them at different ages.
Exactly. Now that
your immune system is different at different ages. So.
And one of my girlfriends did space hers out. She didn't do. And I do think there might be something.
There might be something.
Yeah.
I guess for me to sum it up, I think that everything that we need in this world is provided for us, meaning food, shelter. Like I remember one of my best experiences were in Belize, and where everybody's always worried about being broke or something. People there, they hunt for their food and they build their houses. And what I mean, I'm going to bring it all back. I think that with kids, I think that they're not necessarily going to die. Everything is provided for them. You don't need to get all these shots and do all these things.
You know how many kids die from bacterial and viral infections every year?
Oh my God.
And our medical technology is saving lives. I'll tell you something.
I'm not going to say
I was prone to strep throat growing up. If you get strep throat, which is a bacterial infection, if you get strep throat, you and it's untreated, You develop rheumatism. You will die. It's a bacterial infection. So those things, that's why I feel really strongly someone that has been affected by these things that I know without medical technology, there are ailments that I've actually contracted that would have killed me otherwise. So
I think the answer is there has to be some type of balance. And maybe
no, I agree with you on that.
Jenny is a little bit too outspoken or a little too radical about it all. Maybe it's not so many shots and some kind of
balance. But since she's come back a little bit, so the last point I want to make about it is that there was one article in The Guardian that said, if anything, her being on The View, the ladies will challenge her.
Exactly. Ass, Whoopi, right? Whoopi is not having this shit. Whoopi is going to get in her ass. So,
so that could be a good thing.
It's good because it can help debunk it or give people a different perspective on a national platform. So I think it's good. Right. And she's not going to sit on the fucking show and talk about autism every day.
Yeah, she sure isn't.
Yeah.
Come on.
So I think it was a little bit of an overreaction.
Yeah, it was an overreaction.
My initial was like, oh, but now that I read a little bit more. So please click on the link. Definitely read up on it for yourself.
I just like that it's bringing it to the forefront because there's something I want to mention in the music section when we talk about it.
That.
But it disproportionately affects African Americans.
Huh. Autism does?
Yes, it
does.
I'm so shocked.
We
got to
get through a couple more things.
Okay.
Paula Deen update. Paula Deen is having a very terrible, horrible, not so good year. So the latest is her longtime chef and soul sister, like her homegirl, who has been with her in the kitchen, hooking up the recipes.
For like, $10 an hour.
Less than $10 an hour. Paula Deen was on the Food Network. So her name is Miss Dore Charles. So she's come forward and she actually seemed like she came forward slightly reluctantly. Like
She
was like, she still considers her a friend.
Yeah.
But she did notice, she did note a couple of situations that occurred over the years. She said, yes, I've heard her use racial slurs. And also, she wanted her, there's two separate things.
You had to take a breath.
One of which was, she wanted her to go outside and ring a bell, saying, come and get it. And then they set up the restaurant so that you could observe the people, cookers, cooks, making hoe cakes, which are the cornmeal pancakes.
I thought they were cakes.
I don't have a problem with the first two things you said.
I'm not done yet. So she wanted her to wear an Aunt Jemima outfit while making the hoe cakes.
That one bothers me. The come and get it with the bell.
You see it as more like a traditional, like a Southern tradition.
I see it as a tradition, and if anything.
So why don't you send a white person out there to do it? Why does she got to send the black person out there to do
it? Well, because traditionally the black people did it. And see, I guess I'm not co-signing, the Aunt Jemima thing, but I think what's different is Southern culture, there's a fine line sometimes when you talk about racism and tradition.
Yeah.
There is a fine line. So with the ringing the bell, I don't know if I would necessarily, like, I'm with Tina on that one. I'm not like,
So
the Aunt Jemima thing might be a bit much.
Wearing the Aunt Jemima outfit. So Miss Charles, Dora Charles, she was not doing the ringing of the bell. There was
She refused to do it.
She refused to do that. There was another woman named.
She got her friend to do it.
Annetta Jones.
Her friend.
Whose nickname is Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
To do it. And so there's a postcard. There was a picture taken of her, and they now sell it as a postcard in the restaurant of her.
Ringing the bell.
Come and get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the come and get it, the ringing the bell, if anything, the people that are coming to get it, I think it makes them look bad. It looks like animals, hogs coming to...
I don't know. Have you ever had Paula Deen's, like, cornbread or fried chicken?
Because really
if I'm walking down the street and I see some... I hear that bell.
If I know
it's the Paula Deen bell,
I'm following that motherfucker. I think it works.
I wouldn't have been outside ringing nobody's goddamn bell, but that's just
the outfit, the Aunt Jemima outfit, life is all about perspective. And if Paula Deen doesn't look at the outfit as something negative, that's...
Then bitch, put it on yourself. Look,
if Aunt Jemima can be on the fucking front of a goddamn bottle of syrup, why can't she be in the street ringing a goddamn triangle bell? I'm just saying. Niggas like Aunt Jemima syrup.
They do.
So I challenge all of you to boycott. If you have a problem with Paula Deen and this bell ringing, stop buying that fucking Aunt Jemima syrup.
Okay. She was paying me well. I'll ring that bell.
So
I ring the fuck out of it. I do a little jig. I
mean, she wasn't paying her well. So how about that?
Yeah, she was. She was not paying her well.
To ring the goddamn bell. Bitch, ring it yourself.
But the initial woman, the Dora.
Miss Charles, yeah.
Just really quickly, when the shit started hitting the fan and they realized she was going to start talking, they gave her a raise.
Oh, yes, they did.
They more than tripled her salary to $71,000.
Mind you, she's still living in a trailer.
Yeah. Now, that's on her.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. You make 71 grand and you living in a goddamn trailer. Dora, I can't help you with that one.
But that 71 grand just kind of came, and she said she's using
that to pay. It's hush money.
Well, she's paying. She's like, I'm using that to catch up on stuff. And then hopefully they'll hook up the housing situation.
Right. But just to be fair, Dora and her financial problems, that ain't got shit to do with Paula.
But Paula did tell her when they first got started, stay with me, you get rich.
Yeah.
While I'm on the Food Network and you still making less than $10 an hour. Anyway.
I can't, but I will say this. Dora, I'm sorry. You know what? Like, if you have a job and you know where your value is, if your boss is on the fucking Food Network and you know you helped her get to where she's at, you got to be more proactive.
But
I would have left that job. I would have told somebody. I would have left that job. As soon as Paula ended up on the Food Network and she didn't give me a raise, I would have went to somebody else. I was like, I'd have been like, I made this bitch.
You could have. Like, how many of us really?
She has a ninth grade education.
I mean, so,
I understand both
but
sides.
But you still have to be. A child at seven knows how to take what they have and use it to get what they need to get.
A lot about her personality, her gumption.
She knew enough to go and speak out on this fucking article.
I don't think she, that's what I'm saying. Like, I felt like it was sort of reluctantly. I think it was like, look, okay, yes, I do have some stories to tell, but I don't really want to.
Right. Yeah. You, us right here, we know to capitalize.
Yes.
There's an opportunity, so capitalize it. But there's so many people that don't.
Another juror came forward in the Trayvon Martin trial. Was she B39?
B39,
not 29?
Yeah, she was 39.
Okay, thank you. I have B29.
It might be 20. I knew it was a nine.
Juror B29, otherwise known as Maddie.
Yeah.
Did an interview with...
Robin Roberts.
Thank you. I was like, why am I drawing a blank?
It was on the Katie. I think it was a Katie Couric show.
Yeah. Was it?
Okay. I forget.
It was ABC.
It was ABC, on someone's show, and Robin Roberts did the interview.
She's looking good, by the way, Robin.
She's putting some weight on. She looks good.
So what Maddie says is that she believes she owes Martin's parents an apology because she feels like she let them down.
Right.
She said, it's hard for me to sleep. It's hard for me to eat. Because I feel like I was forcefully included in Trayvon Martin's death. And as I carry him on my back, I'm hurting as much as Trayvon Martin's mother, because there's no way that any mother should feel that pain.
Right. And she said that she was just doing what the law dictated. And the law dictates that if you can't prove that he did it intentionally, shot Trayvon intentionally, then you have to let him go. And that's just what the law is.
And I feel for her, because I was a foreman on a jury in a federal case. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had. And the reason I understand, when the verdict came, I was upset because this man got away with killing this young teenage black boy. But when they came to the verdict, I wasn't. The verdict itself didn't shock me, because I had to do the same thing.
Right.
The jury that I was on, it was a company against the family. And of course, you want to stick it. You want to stick it to the man. And so the judge gave us instructions. And me being the foreman, I had to explain. I basically said, well, this is what we were told to do. And I listened to what everybody said. And in the end, there ended up being a holdout. There was this white guy around the same age as me. He's like, I'm not doing what you guys are doing. And I said, we all emotionally know that this family deserves something, but they didn't present their case well enough for us to give them what it is that we want to give them. And it took me a week to bring him over. I'm like, this is not about emotion. This is about the set of instructions you were given. And we have to base our verdict on those instructions.
But can we say that the instructions are sometimes wrong?
Oh, no, for sure. And that's the issue in the Trayvon Martin case, is that there are things that were not allowed and things that they were instructed that they could not do. Obviously, that bothers us.
So she said that she was going to be the juror that was going to give them a hung jury because she actually wanted to convict him of second-degree murder.
Right.
And I personally, I'm like, I don't know if I would have came forward. I understand she probably wanted to counteract the commentary from the other juror who came
forward. Right. That's I believe that's why she came forward.
My friend pointed out, the other juror that came forward, that made sense of why we got the verdict that we got. Like, when she was talking, and she sounded ridiculous. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, and George, and Trayvon was lying, was responsible for his own death. You coming forward, I'm almost like, so then why didn't you stand your ground? Why didn't you stand your ground?
But see, me being a person that was in her position,
I understand that.
That's why I value this, because this is something that we as black people, because I can tell you something. When I got picked to be on the jury I was on, the family that was a part of that case, both lawyers had to agree to let me on to be a part of the jury. The lawyer that was representing the family, he just knew that I was not going to let, but I followed the law. And that's why I like that she came forward, because this is a teaching experience for us as minorities that you can't. She seemed really altruistic, and she was really sincere. And I totally connected with her, because I had to do the same thing. You have to follow the law when you're on a jury. And obviously, emotionally, she's upset that this kid got killed.
How do we feel about her saying, I'm just as upset as Trayvon Martin's mother? You didn't lose any of your kids.
That's being taken out of context. And when the mom was at a rally and she said, she made a little stab at it. It's like, come on, you knew what she meant.
Yeah.
She meant that this bothers me just as much as it bothers everyone else. I love this juror. I love the fact she came forward. This is a teaching. This is a learning experience for us as minorities, as Latinos, as black people.
As whites, as everybody.
Yes.
So how do we feel? George Zimmerman supposedly is a hero now because he rescued some people from a car.
Them people are like,
yeah.
Don't come near me.
So reportedly,
it was not a setup.
Reportedly, that he drove past his car that was on fire and he helped pull his family out of the car.
It does
but
seem like it was set up.
There was supposed to be a press conference, and he was like, the family was like, we're not. That's okay.
No. Thank you for saving our lives. Let's keep it moving.
I don't know if I believe it, though.
I'm not 100% sure I believe it either.
We're going to talk about Tavis Smiley Cornell, President Obama, and Al Sharpton later. We're going to just talk about that on another episode because we don't have time to get into it.
Okay.
I could quickly read the letter to George Zimmerman.
Please do.
Okay. So there was a young black man on Facebook, Alex Frazier, who wrote this. Dear George Zimmerman, for the rest of your life, you are now going to feel what it's like to be a black man in America. You will feel people stare at you, judging you for what you think are unfair reasons. You will lose out on getting jobs for something you feel is outside of your control. You will believe yourself to be an upstanding citizen and wonder why people choose to not see that. People will cross the street when they see you coming. They will call you hurtful names. It will drive you so insane some days that you'll want to scream at the top of your lungs. But you will have to wake up the next day, put on a firm look, and push through life. I bet you never thought that by shooting a black male, you'd end up inheriting all of his struggles. Enjoy your freedom. Sincerely, a black male who could have been Trayvon Martin. So that was letters on Facebook. It's gone viral. It's floating around.
Yeah.
Thought that was pretty powerful.
It was. So, it was. Yeah. I totally never considered it. I never thought of it in that way.
Yeah.
It's a well done letter. I'm just jealous that it went viral. Like,
wow.
I could have fucking did that.
On that note, we are going to wrap up the segment. Stay tuned. Come back. Please stay with us and come back for segment two.
All right.
box of stone. When all is said and done, as the wind blows to the east from the west, onto this bed my tears have their solemn rest.
Artist this week is Benjamin Clementine.
I'm sorry.
And I have to tell you how I came across Benjamin Clementine, okay? I have this wonderful friend, new friend on Facebook that lives overseas somewhere. I'll give you his name later on. But anyway, he posts random new artists on my Facebook page. And sometimes I'm like, ew, who's this artist? And then other times I'm like, whoa, okay. So Benjamin Clementine, he's around 24, 25 years of age. He's from London, but he moved to France to get his music career going. There's no information to be found about him. Like, he is such an enigma. You wait till you say anything, damn it. But he looks like he's of West African descent.
Yeah, he does.
His bone structure.
He's got great bone structure.
To me, I just love him off of his bone structure.
I think he should be a model.
His skin is
like, instead of a musician.
Say his name again. Benjamin Clementine.
It's a beautiful name.
It is such a beautiful
name.
But if you listen to his music, the first song that I heard was, oh my gosh, the first song, Cornerstone. And he's playing the piano. He's a full-on musician. He plays the piano.
And a little guitar.
Mm-hmm. And when I heard him, I thought of Nina Simone. I thought of a male version of Nina Simone.
I see that a little bit. I can see that on some level.
Because
yeah.
of the pure passion yeah. from such a deep level. Sometimes he's yeah. not even singing. He's speaking. Yeah.
Those are my favorite parts when he's not singing.
Yeah, when he's
So in Cornerstone, I do like the melody. I like the music.
My home. I've been lonely in a box of stones.
You have to look it up.
Oh my God.
My home.
I did not pick him because I love him. I pick him because...
He is interesting. Because I will say this. His voice and his singing did not speak to me, but I will tell you this song. Is this love? I love the guitar, the chord progressions
yeah.
on the guitar, but my only problem with him is that I feel like, damn nigga, you got half an octave in range. Like, he'll be singing something.
Okay, so
his voice was not melodic enough for me.
Not.
You have to have a certain amount of range to be melodic, which means you can hit maybe at least, you know, I don't know, 20 notes.
He's not melodic. He's a storyteller.
So exactly.
To that point. It was too talk.
You know, there are some artists that are... They do a sing talk thing.
Yeah, that's what
and I can take that to a certain extent, but with all of his musical prowess, with him playing the piano and the guitar, I expected more from the voice. So I guess I was let down when I heard him sing. I'm like, nigga, if you just played it and didn't open your mouth, I might pick up the album.
I wasn't sure if I was like, is he singing hard? But I will say this, because I didn't necessarily hate it.
I didn't hate it.
I was intrigued.
I was intrigued also. Because his face, his background. I wanted to know more.
The hair.
Yeah.
The asymmetric Gumby.
The one where
natural.
The Club Carmen. Like, okay, let me tell you something.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on with the hair. Like, I keep looking at them, but I could hear in the crowd, there were people laughing like they didn't know what to make out of what the fuck was going on in front of them.
It was kind of comedy.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be funny. So, y'all got to watch this Club Carmen. It's like, it almost felt minstrelish, like, when I was watching it.
I feel like he kind of almost, too, was sort of, like, playing into that.
Yes.
Well, right?
Yes.
What's funny, though, is when I heard him, I did think about you. Like, I was like, I was like, I get why Tina picked this person, but I was curious how you found him. So somebody posted it on your Facebook page.
Yes, they post tons of random people, but this one he spoke to.
And I think live, I would feel differently if I saw him live, because he does tell stories. And I'm always a lot more, I'm easier on artists when, because live, you know this as a performer, it takes a lot to express yourself in a live setting. So I'm a lot more forgiving in a live setting. So if I saw him walk on stage and I'm always, when someone can express musicianship, when they play an instrument, it's like you get a B just for playing an instrument. Like, if you don't sound great.
Good point, yeah.
So the fact that he plays at least two instruments, and again, beautifully, the piano did a great job. The guitar, best chord progressions I've heard in a long time. Yeah. So he definitely has something to work with. So.
Mark my words. We have discovered him here on this show, and he is going to do very well.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Watch Benjamin Clementine. Or at least
please click on the links. Okay. Click on the playlist.
Call me.
Really?
He's someone I'd like to kiss. You know?
I could see that.
Right now, I'm into. I want to date somebody that I just want to grab and kiss.
Maybe Moroccan.
Moroccan. What?
I'm just saying. It sounded like you said grab and kiss. We're talking about somebody African. I just thought Morocco. Maybe you want to meet a Moroccan.
Why Moroccan? Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know. Just I don't know because it's in Africa. I don't know. Okay, a Nigerian. I don't know.
Not Nigerian.
I don't see you guys dating.
You don't do. Like, oh, you
don't do Nigerian.
Look, we love Nigerians. She's speaking to the stereotype of the prince fucking offering you $50,000, $50 million in an email.
No, I'm speaking to Nigerians.
I'm speaking to the fact that when I was a little kid, I had a Nigerian neighbor that used to make me come over and sit on his lap. And I was a little kid, and he'd be hard, and I was a little girl. And I don't talk about this. It's true. Yeah. I mean, luckily, I finally stopped going over there.
Are you okay? What the fuck happened? It's the music segment, not the...
Lord, this explains so much. This explains so much right now.
Ten years ago, though, I called him and told him what he did was wrong, and he denied it. He was like, it never happened. I was like, yes, it did. Anyway, so Benjamin Clementine, I really think you all should look him up.
Okay.
We're going to have
a look him up, and don't sit on hard laps if you're a little girl.
Go.
No new albums really came out this week, so we're skipping that. Chris Brown featuring Nicki Minaj, Love More.
What the hell is that? That's terrible.
Two heavyweights came up with this? It was bad. It's bad.
Love More, but he was like, I'm not repeating that lyric.
No, I think it's a song they performed on, what was the last awards show we watched when Nicki came out of the
CL?
It was the BET Awards. I think it's bad. His album, he's dropped so many singles. I think they're kind of in... They're trying to figure out what to, because Chris Brown's, his last two albums did really well, but I don't know what's going on. Fine China is a jam, though. I'm sorry, that's a jam. The video, I liked it. The song, I really liked. So, Busta Rhymes, new videos. Busta Rhymes featuring Tasha and Nicki Minaj.
What's going on?
Twerk it.
First of all, Busta, it looks fat.
He's bloated, water weight.
He looks like Tracy Morgan on steroids.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like to me.
Like
he looks like Tracy Morgan a little bit.
Looks like he's having some kidney failure.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. He looks sick, but he also looked high. And I was like, it's like your uncle at the party. Sit your ass down.
He looked like your uncle at the family reunion drunk trying to get it in. Yeah, it's like, nigga, you 60. His neck is big.
I like the styling of the video. I like the clothes in the video. Nicki Minaj's, that's not her butt. That can't be her butt.
Okay. So the denim and the way it was.
That looks so fake. It looks so stupid. It looked so fake.
Well, there's a huge debate over whether or not Nicki's ass is real. Now, the thing is, if you follow Nicki.
Up until this video, though, I wasn't buying into it, but this video.
Oh, yeah, but it's still, even in the ass, because, you know, she goes, I don't know, man. I guess the ass shots wore off.
Yeah, I remember.
And my sister was like, I'm so glad she finally admitted to it. I said, I think that was tongue in cheek. I don't think she was admitting to it.
I think it is tongue in cheek.
But if you follow her career, when Nicki first came out with her mixtapes, so she was rapping over all the female rappers' beats. She was, Nikki's nose in her ass. She was a small girl. She was thin frame. So
yeah, she
I'm
was.
Just saying it's yeah. odd that somebody's ass would, I mean, she is Trinidadian, so I don't know.
Look, we're not even talking about the song. We're talking about Nicki Minaj's ass.
Oh, that, well, that's all that matters because to me.
The bass line. I like the bass line in the song.
I hate that they're doing the patois and they sound so inauthentic.
The bass line made me stand up for a split second
of
to dance.
Course you
and
then, twerk
but
to
then,
it.
But then I sat right back down. It didn't grab
me. It's
it.
Not a hot song.
The video was a, yeah, it was a lot going on.
I thought it was cheap. And then Busta's face kept turning into Venom from Spider-Man.
Thank you. I couldn't remember
what I
that
didn't
was
understand what that meant. Hey, if any of you know what it means, comment and let me know. Cause email school us. Me, because normally I research shit like that.
Facebook.
This wasn't worth my time. Kelly Rowland came out with a video for Dirty Laundry. Please let go away, Kelly. Go away.
Oh, you've turned on Kelly?
Yes, I'm done. Oh. I'm done. I'm done.
Oh. Go away, but I'm like,
go the fuck away and don't come back.
Describe. She's in a pool in a fetal position,
but the pool shot was good. She had like this purple matte lipstick that was fly.
Beautiful. No one's questioning.
Oh, she's a gorgeous girl, and I didn't like her profile though.
Yeah,
they had her profile, and it was like, mama, sister, boobs on stage, came in like a motherfucker. Her bottom lip is hanging in her profile. She don't have a good shadow profile. Come in like a motherfucker.
All I'm saying is at this point, I'm kind of like, y'all, like, I mean, come on.
Stop. Girl, yeah, stop. And the album, I don't even think it's on the chart no more. It's yeah. done. Like,
she has so much to say in
yeah.
that video. Such a victim. So much was going
and on. And I was upset that they just had her in some fucking water. Like, how would Beyonce look like or something? We'd have been talking about it for
yeah.
weeks. Like,
yeah.
damn, Beyonce did her dirty in the video.
Yeah.
Or, but you know what I would have loved from her album is to have seen, like, a journey. Like, to be an old school album yeah. where there's, like, there's an ebb and a there's an arc,
yeah.
there's, you know, like, for you to just drop Dirty Laundry in the middle of, what's the song, Kisses Below, and
Kisses
all this,
Down Low.
Thank you, Kisses Down Low.
Where she's swinging inside of a pussy in the video. I was waiting for the sex tape to come out, because it's like...
Is she swinging inside of a pussy?
Look, when you look at it, it's extremely vaginal. Who's the artist that does the vaginal paintings? Georgia O'Keeffe.
Yeah.
It's very Georgia O'Keeffe. At any rate.
Yeah, come. Keep going.
Okay, so we can't be spending all that time on Kelly's ass. Yeah. All right. Now, this is one I know y'all were shocked this popped up on here.
Why?
Good for it. No,
did you watch it?
No. Yes, I watched it.
All right. Can I tell you something?
So tell us what it is.
Okay. Initially, when Crescent used to do the music segment, she admitted she would go to Vevo and just post what was on the Vevo page.
Not just strictly the audio.
No, but you said that was like...
That makes sense to us.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
So so she gave me some structure also. So I go to Vevo because I didn't go there beforehand. So I go to Vevo. And I see Tim McGraw's new video. I don't know what made me click on it.
Me neither.
I clicked on this video. Please, did you watch it?
And yes.
Start to
finish. I like his little butt and his jeans.
I'm like, his, what the fuck? I'm like, Tim,
he is getting
I need to change it up. Look, he's in this cutoff shirt and he's sweating.
Yeah.
And he's 46 years old.
He was sexy.
I'm sorry. I was a little turned on by the Tim McGraw video. So I'm watching the video and I'm like, what is, in the words of a friend of the show, Judy, what is going on? I'm watching this video like, I'm like, look, gay culture is being taken away from us. Metrosexuals, you can't wear a scarf and be gay. It's like, now I'm looking at this Tim McGraw video and I think it's really getting to a point where guys are going to be like, well, I fuck guys on Sundays, but I'm not gay. Like, it really is getting to that
point.
I want to
bring this back around a little bit. When I would go to Vevo and see stuff, like, there was David Bowie songs video. And I was like, how would artists include this? I was like, no, because this is, I don't like the video. I don't like the songs. So I left it alone. I'm watching Tim McGraw's Southern Girl. And Danielle was at my house. Danielle, who will be on the show next week. I was like, we don't get it.
I was
bored. I didn't like the song. And I'm okay with country music.
Crescent, this was not about the video or the song.
This was
about him being ripped.
Thank you.
The jeans were painted on.
Thank you. Because I was trying to get some clarification as to why you put
it. And I didn't comment because I just wanted to see because Tina picked up on what.
I got it.
And I'm like, what is going on?
And mind you, I'm listening for music. And lyrics and songs.
I wasn't feeling the song at all.
The video is a place where I don't need to go. That's what I saw in the video.
It was so white. I've never seen so many white people.
Which is fine. Do you have fun?
But then it made me think.
He looked fucking fantastic.
But it made me think. It's so white that made me think. Damn, so many videos that we have are so black. They're just so black. Nothing but black.
Right. Oh, there was nothing wrong with it.
I loved environments where other people should not go.
No, I I wouldn't say
they
that.
Like they were having a good time. I would.
It was
with
it's Southern
people.
Culture, and like he like Tim is a good guy. Like there were no, yeah. there were, he made sure he's like no Confederate flags, mother.
No Confederate flags.
He wouldn't let no Confederate flags.
I appreciated that, Tim. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Faith, no. Look, Faith having a good time.
Oh yeah.
So Kanye's official black.
I love it.
Oh, Tina, come
I
on.
Love it.
Tina, are
I
you fucking kidding me?
I love it. Let him get it out. Let him get
he
it out
is
what
God.
It is.
It's Kanye's black skinhead video is out, which if you weren't following, it came, they leaked about 2 weeks ago, and he went into a fucking rant. Me and the director, we're upset that it was leaked before we could make our artistic decisions. And the fucking video comes out. It looks damn near identical to the one that was leaked. Looks like cheap computer CGI.
This is me. This is me watching it. Well, that wasn't warm and fuzzy at all.
No.
Disturbing.
Yes.
Negro, those are not your abs.
No. Oh, he wish he looked like that, motherfucker.
It reminds me of I Am Legend, the zombies. It was very zombie-like, very heavy, very deep. I loved it. I mean, there's something that they're trying to work on, some program where you can make it move and do different things with the video.
What they're doing is they have an Instagram. They have
you can
an,
take pictures. So
you
I
can take pictures of scenes and send it to Instagram.
Which I was able to do, which was really
cool. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was so innovative, so creative. You
that part was kind of cool, but
you gotta respect him. He is doing some major
the video,
things.
I'm sorry. You know what? And I have a problem right now with, it's 2013. If I can look at your shit and tell, like, it's obviously CGI, I'm sorry. Let me tell you, I have a degree in computer animation. So I'm looking at the video and I'm like, Kanye's face is blacked out because these niggas didn't have enough time to animate his mouth to say the words.
Really?
That's why his face is
Are
blacked
you serious?
Out. If you notice, every once in a blue moon, they show his face and he says about three words.
Maybe they That's, made that choice. Maybe
no,
that
no, Tina,
choice.
There's no reason not to have his face. That if they were gonna make that choice, I should never see his face.
Here's the thing, I'll give credence to that only because I know that it was so rushed.
Yes, it was totally rushed.
There's an excellent Rick Rubin article that talks about the experience working with Kanye from the other side.
Rick had less than a week to fucking...
It was rushed. Like, the album was rushed, the video...
He wasn't supposed to drop any singles from the album. The reason this video is in existence is because initially Kanye said he wasn't going to release singles and that he was just going to present the album as a work of art. Well, obviously, when it came out, a lot of niggas were not feeling it. So at that point, you got to regroup, and it's like.
But he did do sing. He did the SNL. He performed two
those
songs.
A single is when you come out with a video and you release it to radio.
I get you.
He didn't release singles to radio.
I get what you're saying. But so, with the SNL performance,
he just did two songs from the album on the
and
SNL.
That's also when he did those videos on the sides of buildings.
That was all promo for the album.
Okay.
He never promoted a specific single.
Gotcha. You say it's rushed. I just don't believe it's that rushed. If you look at the lyrics, like I just read
rushed.
All the lyrics for all the different songs. It is pure genius, all that he's put.
Well, you know I
lyrics.
Like the album. And you know, now,
it is amazing.
The lyrics for the song.
The lyrics are amazing. There's no
I don't argue against the song itself,
Rick Rubin,
the video.
When Rick Rubin came in, he was like, oh, okay, so when you trying to come out? And he's thinking, oh, we got a couple months on this. Kanye's like, we got 5 weeks.
There
and
were so, songs without
and,
lyrics.
And Rick Rubin was like.
Music, no lyrics.
Rick Rubin was like, okay. Like,
I believe you can do an album in a month. I think you can focus.
Actually, Crescent, I don't think it was 5 weeks. I literally think he came in, I think it was a week.
No, well,
we got to look it up.
Yeah, whatever.
I think it was a week.
I didn't find an article, but it was a very...
It was a very short period of time.
Not, Rick didn't throw him under the bus. I don't want to say that. I don't even want to
Oh, no, Rick stripped it down. He was like, you're actually doing too much, and he took a lot out to make it... The album, to me, I think... For people, without us going into that album, because we've already discussed that a little bit, but the thing with that album is that it's progressive, and the thing is, if you're a diehard, you know, rap fan, then it's gonna sound strange to you because it's really industrial, and that's not something that's normally paired with rap music. That's why I like it, because I like it when they experiment. So,
me too.
At any rate,
I adore it.
Yeah, TLC movie trailer.
It looks good.
It's eerie. I'm like, I came up with them, so I'm kind of like looking at this
I
video.
I loved it. I loved it.
This is eerie. Like, I felt
it is eerie.
Just like Left Eye.
I was so against Lil Mama being Left Eye, and
that's
she
Lil Mama?
Fucking
yeah. That's Lil Mama.
She did her thing. Like, I was shocked. That's Lil Mama.
She killed it.
Yeah, she killed it.
She has the energy one, of her. She evoked the
she
energy.
She really
of her.
Did. The weakest link for me was Kiki.
I wasn't mad at
you know what it was.
The close-ups were not helping Kiki at all.
They had her in a bad wig, and then she had bags on her eyes. I'm like, Chili is like, she's got perfect skin. She got the baby hair pumping. Like, it was. was not a good look.
The
so
HD makeup close-ups were not working.
But when they redid, okay, they had the scene where they redid. They redid the No Scrubs video.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the part, you know, Left Eye's got on heavy makeup. And Lil Mama, she's like, she's doing that yeah. little Left Eye part. I'm like, bitch, you look just like her.
She did.
She fucking killed it. I was really impressed by her.
Everybody watching them do waterfalls. I was like,
yeah.
This is so weird.
Yeah.
I'm expecting to see the group that I know.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing different
it
faces.
Was.
It's just, it's weird. That's all I'm saying. It's weird. It looks good. It looks
y'all,
good.
But look, good. Y'all know, like, we damn near might have to do a whole episode on that because when that comes out, I was a huge TLC
fan.
No,
we're not going to do a whole episode on that at all.
Okay. We got to. Keep going.
Do the fuck I want.
That's 12:30.
Okay. Black American Idol contestants are suing American Idol for $25 million apiece.
Each
they're saying that, and here's what's interesting, they're saying that they were only put on the show because basically what happened was there's been a slew of black contestants, and they have you sign like this disclaimer before you go on the show. Basically saying, do you have a criminal background? You have to disclose it. And they're saying that a disproportionate number of black contestants have been on the show, and then they dug up their criminal backgrounds, and it was sensationalized for the show, for ratings.
Perhaps.
And there's quite a few of them, because Corey Clark is the one that I remember, because he could sing his ass off, and they found out that he had a criminal background, and they kicked him off the show.
I want to say this. There was one quote that I did pull from that article. The contestants' lawyers claims the show used the arrest info to make their clients appear to be violent criminals, liars, and sexual deviants when they weren't. In fact, none had ever been convicted of
exactly.
the charges stemming from their arrest.
Yeah.
So that actually is completely
there's
suspect.
Something, there that may be something
suspect.
To this.
They ain't get 25 mil each, but they ain't get 25
mil
each.
We're going to see what happens. So we'll keep y'all up to date on that.
I doubt American Idol likes its reality TV.
Yeah,
they like things
drama.
To be interesting. So, yeah.
So it's not about them being racist, because America chooses the winner. The last winner was black. So we've had several black winners. They're not saying that they're racist when it comes to picking a winner. They're saying they were exploited to make the show more interesting. So Beyonce got her hair stuck in a fan, and that helper kept saying.
Good for her.
Yeah. I mean, we already knew that. Was she going to stop? No.
Real divas are
she
human.
She won't stop.
Real
she's,
divas are human.
She's standing there, and her bodyguard, she's singing Halo.
Halo.
Halo. That was perfect.
That's my nigga.
Do you want to do J. Cole on segment 3? Because we can just do that.
Yeah, we can do that. I'll skip to J. Yeah. Cole. And then, okay, I'm going to zoom through this, but this one, we cannot let it go.
No.
Y'all had to see the TGT performance.
You got
to
click on the link. Please
Lord.
Click on the link. Please click
Lord,
on the
click on it. I know some of y'all probably didn't see it.
So TGT explains Tyrese, Genuine, and Tank. They have a new group, because not everybody knows this. And they were on, what show is that? The Couch? What is that?
It was one of those local shows, so it wasn't a national, you know how like Fox has
subsidiary,
so it was a local one.
It looks bootleg.
It was East Coast. It was East Coast.
Completely bootleg, the whole setup of it.
Both hosts were pregnant.
I'm so confused. I don't understand what the big deal is. I think they gave their all. They gave their all in
first
this
of all,
Tina,
Genuine.
Are your eyes and your ears broke?
This is Genuine.
He's looking like he did some lines beforehand.
Totally. And then Tank is laughing because
Tank is laughing, and Tyrese is giving him the fucking death stare like, nigga, if you fuck this up, I got Transformers and I got Fast and Furious, but nigga, I got this now. You ain't fucking this up, because them other ones, there might not be no more sequels.
You can't tell when Genuine is supposed to be singing, when he's not supposed to be singing, because he seems like he's not sure himself.
He steps in sometimes and lip syncs, then at other times he's going...
And then, right, and then Tyrese stands up. Still sounds terrible, though. He does.
Oh, they sounded a mess.
He did not sound.
Yes,
terrible.
He did, Tina.
You two are tripping.
Tina, that performance was a
Listen
mess.
For
even if Genuine wasn't on, like looking like he was on some ooh-wee.
What you said was a 5-hour energy drink.
Exactly. That's what he said. He said he'd taken a 5-hour energy drink.
Okay.
And I tell you, you know what? I need to see what's up under the clothes, because this nigga look like when he shaved, the hair grow back 10 minutes later.
So stupid.
So, okay.
Tyrese is so hot.
26
I love
okay.
him.
Okay.
I don't
no,
think
no,
it was
no.
that bad.
No, no,
I'm sorry.
All right, I'm zooming
Go
through.
Ahead.
Okay, Slim Thug got a vasectomy and had his bunions cut off.
That was gross. The pictures were gross.
Ew.
Yeah. Kanye, there's audio of him ranting after Swiftgate. Click on the link and you'll be able to hear it. I actually was not shocked, but the fact that it exists.
But we don't have to do boy, the Stevie Wonder stuff.
Okay.
No, we don't have to do that. So the Swiftgate, the Kanye West stuff,
mm-hmm.
why is he by surprise? So basically the night it's after, just the hearing night it. After the...
It was the same night.
Right. That's what I'm sorry. Not the night after. The same night, Kanye West took the award from Taylor Swift. They go to a restaurant and he's like...
I'm going to let you talk.
He's running his mouth. So click on the link and you can listen to the audio.
Yeah.
I don't know why y'all don't understand any of Kanye's pain.
Okay, I'm ignoring that.
So we're wrapping
up. Jay-Z is number one for second week. Blurred Lines has the longest number one run this year for a single. And Ciara's album sold 13,000 copies. She done fell way the fuck off. It's done, bitch. Learn how to choreograph. I don't know. Call Janet. I don't know what you're going to do now, but it's done.
You're a shady fan. You were a fan a week or two ago, and now you just totally changed.
You.
That's effed up about you, Antoine.
Bye, Sierra.
That's with the next segment.
Bye, CC.
Shady as shit, y'all.
It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. Traversed in tears from the heavens. My heart is a melodrama in fact. Set alight by echoes of pain 24/7, 24/7. I dream.
All right, we're back with segment three. Let's see. Right now, actually, segment three is supposed to be cheating politicians and the women who love and or love them. But we want to finish up with a music story that we get a chance to talk about. It's when J. Cole. Actually, I'll let you introduce it. Go ahead.
And actually, you know what? Right now, off the top of my head, basically, J. Cole is on a song that's supposed to be...
It's Jodeci Freestyle.
It's called Jodeci Freestyle.
It's on Drake's.
Yeah, it's Drake's song. And J. Cole is on it. And... Mind you, to give you a little background about J. Cole, J. Cole is college educated. Apparently, he graduated at the top of his class from what I understand.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And he has a lyric on this Drake song where he says something along these lines where he says something. It rhymes with started and he goes, I'm artistic. You niggas are autistic, retarded. So it drew a lot of backlash, obviously. And the person who really was at the forefront was Holly Robinson Peete, because she has a son that's autistic.
He's 15.
And he's a fan of J. Cole.
And Drake's.
So he heard the song and he went to his mother. He's like, Ma, why are they saying this? And she was just heartbroken that they would just, you know, say something so fleetingly.
But autistic people don't get emotional, so he wasn't upset.
No, he actually asked the way she said it.
Wait, I'm sorry. That's not true.
They do? They get emotional?
No, and you know what? And we need to correct.
I need to know.
No, we need to correct what you said last, because what you said was incorrect last
what
episode.
Say?
You said, like, the emotions don't work or whatever. That's not how it works.
There's a spectrum, first of all.
Yeah, basically, there is. Basically, to compartmentalize it, what happens is, in brain development, our brains develop, there's an analytical side, and there's a side that is emotional.
Right.
And their balance is different from what you would consider a normal person. So, doesn't mean that they don't experience emotion. In an extreme case, it may appear that they experience no emotion, but... That's not the case. It, again, like Crescent said, there are percentages. There's a spectrum. So you may have someone who... You take someone that may have Asperger's. People with Asperger's are highly functioning autistic people. So someone with Asperger's can actually date, have a job. They have some things they have to deal with. So it's not just... they are defunct in the emotional department. So I just want to make that clear.
I'm trying to figure out why they're so different than us then.
This is not the autism episode. Okay, yeah.
I'm just really trying to figure out. Everybody's autistic all the time.
But I just wanted the reason.
Robinson Pete's son came to her and said, I don't understand. Can you explain this to me? What are they saying? What does this mean? Mm-hmm. That's what she says her son said to him.
She was right. Scared. I get it. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, and granted, I was talking with a friend of mine last night who has a son that's autistic. And another friend overheard me talking, and she's a nurse, and I guess she deals with autistic children. And it was really interesting, just the two different approaches. My friend whose son is autistic, it was almost like, I've heard this before. Like, she's already kind of inoculated herself against this sort of thing. Yeah. She can't allow herself to fucking lose it over this. Yeah. She deals with this every day.
And the thing is, rap songs have so much ridiculous stuff left and right.
Yeah, but
let's stay focused. Let's stay focused.
Yeah, yeah.
On
but
this.
But again, you're the right, reason the do, reason but. This is so significant is because. Number one, we've heard people say retard before and they've been reprimanded for it. Britney Spears, 50 Cent, a lot of people. But because we've even had to talk about it before, so there was some confusion here. But the thing is, I ain't never heard a fucking rapper talk about autism in a goddamn song. You taking it to another level. Now you done put autism in the same category with mental. It's like, and people are already confused. And I feel like as a college educated man, and again, because African Americans are disproportionately affected by autism. I really don't accept his apology. I see them in the studio, they're recording.
That bothers me.
It's like you're smart enough.
That bothers me, you throwing out that quote that more black people, everything is always more black people, this, more black people.
Let's research it.
We'll find out. We'll find out.
So I want to say this. So Holly Robinson-Pee, I did appreciate her. I appreciated her delivery of it, her commentary about it.
And she accepted his apology after that broadcast. She did.
Again, I want to get this.
I'm not on same page with her.
She was on Access Hollywood, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
One of those shows. And but she was emotional about it, but she was it was very calm, very
she didn't go
statement.
The fuck off.
She didn't go off.
She used it as a platform.
She did. But she used it in a way that she wanted to listen to what she was saying.
Yes.
She wasn't all indignant and crazy about it.
Right.
And then
she that's
said,
how I would have
she
did
said,
it.
And she's like, I welcome an apology. She's like, I know these, you know, I know them as artists. I appreciate them. She's like, I consider J. Cole like a very intelligent guy.
Yes.
Right.
So then what ends up happening is J. Cole immediately issues a legit
apology. It was a fantastic apology letter.
In contrast to how Rick Ross and Lil Wayne and a couple of these other cats have handled things in the past, like, and I will say this, it's funny because I actually looked up his age. He's 28. So I actually give a little bit more credence to what you were saying. I was like, I do feel like you should have known better, but this is the way from a PR perspective, this is the way you handle this. This is how you go, you know what?
You No, Crescent. Up. And see, that's the thing, Crescent, you are... The apology appeared to be sincere.
It did.
And the way it seemed like he actually wrote it, he wasn't using words that I felt like he doesn't use.
And Drake was like, we're taking the lyric out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they were like,
granted, they did everything that they were supposed to do. But my thing is, as grown ass niggas, I can't believe you were in the fucking studio and I don't care whose song it was, Drake, whatever, I can't believe you let him say that shit and you were like, nigga, that's hot. Wait, and we putting it on. I cannot believe they allowed this.
You all just shut me down a minute ago, but I'm going to bring it back up again. Rap music is absolutely horrible. A lot of the lyrics that they use. How come all of a sudden autism, oh my God, you're just so disgusted and you say all this right
no,
now.
No, but
all
it,
the
this
other
is someone.
That are said
so,
in rap music.
Tina, to the point, I think women should be raising up. Raising
women
up
should.
Should be changed
I should.
Across the board.
All of it is wrong.
A lot of it is wrong.
Every single fucking Wayne song has Boston wide open in it.
But why are we so upset right now over autism?
Well,
all of this shit is
well,
terrible.
Well, but the thing, Tina, it's just because someone had a platform, Holly Robinson-Pee had a platform to bring it to the forefront. It doesn't mean that they say things, other things that we just let slip by. This is just something where, particularly because he said retard, and that's something that people, there's been a movement to stop people. Remember, I've told you guys a couple times, you can say mentally retarded, but when you say
I
it out of
that.
Context.
Yeah, I'm like, you can't.
If
I'm
you
like,
say
I'm
it out of context.
Be like, wait, listen, can we use that
and
word?
So,
I'm all for lyrics uplifting humanity. And
that's
so,
not
yes,
art. That's
so,
not art.
So I agree with you.
That's not art.
So much that has to change.
That's cowardice. That's cowardice.
One thing across
no,
all
I agree, but just because somebody else isn't yelling about the other shit they're saying doesn't mean
I'm
that
really
we shouldn't
confused.
Take this seriously.
I'm baffled that we're so concerned.
It's not
with this.
So concerned. It's that it was brought to the forefront. If more women were more vocal about women,
half the videos
black women,
that you pull up for us to watch every week, so
it's because black women
so
are
much.
Historically supportive of black men. Regardless, because they know the hardships black men have to go through, so black women support them through thick and thin. We need more black women to step up and say, "No, nigga, that's wrong."
I mean, we need more women, period.
Yeah, just women in general.
Whole.
But
because, no, the lyrics are horrible.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Tina,
listen, I liked Holly Robinson going up there saying Holly Robinson-Pee saying what she said. I just wish she would have just continued with it. And been
but
like,
that may not be her. That's not what she's concerned with. That may not be her battle. This is a battle that's really close to her. She deals with this every day.
Fine.
She deals with this every day. So I don't look at it in that way. It's like...
For me, it just got me emotional because I start thinking about all the other stuff.
It is.
But that's the thing.
These niggas are not accountable for anything.
No,
they say anything. anything they now. Do. It's fucking
but
ridiculous.
That is the difference nowadays is that you don't get to just say Emmett Till and throw pussy in the same. Like, you don't get to just say this. You don't get to just act like you might be raping somebody by slipping Molly into their drink.
Good.
Rick Ross, you know. No, nowadays, cats are calling Negroes, calling people on their shit.
Because we're listening. Yeah, we're listening to the lyrics now. You can't get away with shit now.
And there are so many more platforms in which to disseminate your message. Like, you know what I'm saying? Back in the day, it might have taken a couple days.
Right.
Marley Robinson, Pete's.
It's
like,
immediate now.
Instant.
Drake's album ain't even out yet.
So, we're moving on.
Devil's Advocate is the opposite side. It's freedom of speech, y'all. It's fucking freedom of speech.
Yeah, it's my freedom to tell people not to buy your goddamn album because you're being fucking an asshole.
Your freedom not to buy it. Your freedom not to listen to it. You ain't got to listen. Holly ain't got to listen to it. Her son doesn't have to listen to it.
No, you're right. It is freedom.
Whatever the hell he wants to say.
But, I mean, what you said is exactly what just... But it all just came out, though, what you just said.
Okay, so, but that's just it. He can say what he wants in his song. She can say what she wants about how she feels about it, and people can choose to
and
not fuck him.
Trust me, what she has to say is going to touch a lot more people than him fucking calling somebody autistic and retarded on a fucking rap song. She's going to reach a lot more people. That's why the apology came. I do not believe, and I'm telling you right now, these are strategic apologies.
Of course
I do
they
not,
are.
Even
yeah,
though it was worded properly, I just think he got a better lawyer than Lil Wayne and Rick Ross because Ross
he
apology.
Got, his PR person is fantastic.
He got better advice, but he also saw what happened to Lil Wayne
exactly.
and Rick Ross with losing endorsements. Yeah. And Tyler the Creator. Them motherfuckers lost money.
Yes.
Period.
You fuck with a nigga's money. He gonna find a lawyer or somebody to write a really sincere sounding apology. Just like, nigga, what words do you use
Tina,
in your
say
regular
what you
speech?
Want. Lose your loot. That's cool. Whatever.
But right, I just, the fact that he started out with it, I'm so, and I like J. Cole.
I'm a big fan.
I went to Knott's Berry Farm the day before with my friends and their autistic 5-year-old son, and I come back on Monday and I see this shit. I was incensed.
I do. I'm a fan
Fuck
of J. Cole.
J. Cole.
I like J. Cole. I'm glad he issued the apology. You handled it the way it should have been handled. I wish you had never said it in the first place, but now maybe you know better. Moving on. So segment 3, we're supposed to be talking about cheating politicians and the women who love them, particularly right now, Anthony Weiner, who clearly just has a problem. For those who actually don't know, because you don't live in New York and you're not paying attention, Anthony Weiner is running for mayor. And as we all know, he was,
Gotta be the freak of the week.
Resigned from his congressional seat. He had a congressional seat, right? Why am I drawing a blank on that?
Like
over 16, was it like 2 years ago? Was it when all this fell out initially?
It was 2 or 3 years ago,
So what comes, so he decides he's going to throw his hat back in the ring.
He's
that's
a
what they
serial sexist.
Elliot Spitzer, former governor of New York.
Love also, Elliot Spitzer.
He's also throwing his hat back in the ring, who, as you
New
all
York
know,
controller.
He's, yeah, that's
what I want. I kept wanting to say comptroller, but they call it controller there. Yeah, he's controller.
Okay. So there's this whole host of, I messed up. Give me a couple years. I'm going to come back.
Right.
So, but Anthony Weiner's instance is you have to stop doing the situation that put you in the doghouse in the first place.
Okay. Look at Anthony and his wife, Huma. Huma, I believe she is. That's her name. First of all, you can see there's absolutely no sexual chemistry going on between the two of them whatsoever.
I agree with Tina.
They are not.
It seems like arranged.
It is so arranged.
Because they're everybody's saying it's an interfaith couple, and I'm like, I see no chemistry there's no chemistry there.
You can see clearly they are not having sex.
I'm not close to
She's like, baby, do whatever the hell you want to do because I don't want to have sex with you anyway. That's what I see. So she's
But Tina, in the text, in the sexts.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I picked up on. Whenever the girl tried to take it to a place where I want to make this happen, he took it in the other direction.
You have to give context to that. So we are there's a website called The Dirty that has his text messages.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, y'all, they nasty.
They name him.
Ooh, they nasty.
His alias is Carlos Danger. This whole scenario is hilarious. This whole scenario is absolutely hilarious.
I love him.
I'm not gonna read it. Tina, are you okay?
Which one do you want me? You want me to read the first one here in Graham?
That one.
I slide my cock in you slow at first. You are so tight. And then harder. My ball slapping your ass. With each thrust, you squeal a little. I start to fuck you so hard, your tits almost hit you in the face.
Damn, I wish my
You reach back and spread your ass. Now, Tina, what is what's her response?
I want to make this happen as soon as possible.
So
I need this nigga to be mayor immediately.
I'm so mad at you for that. So, what's funny about it, so that
actually, need him
that's
now.
One of the quotes that The Daily Show did, and John Oliver was like, titties in your face. Like, he was like,
he was envisioning. I knew what he meant.
It was hilarious.
She got some banana like, titties, yeah. And they just going boop, boop, boop. You just hitting it from the back, and they're going boop, 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 boop.
Oh my God.
I got it.
So, I just want to talk a little bit, though, about the politicians and their women and their wives.
I
want
to talk about more about his.
Really? It speaks to the fact that politicians are so human.
Sexually frustrated.
They're both. It's both. And people are just so sexual, and people need sex. They need that outlet. And he's not getting
a problem. He has a problem.
I don't have a problem. This is the thing. You know what? We as human beings have to get past this. Him being a fucking serial sexter has nothing to do with him being a good politician. I feel the same, because I'm telling you, Elliot Spitzer, that is a fucking genuine politician. He's a good person. The fact that he didn't use city funds. He didn't state funds. He spent his own money on a prostitute. Why is it that the oldest fucking profession in the world, why is he being, I don't know, crucified because he participated in that?
Actually,
he's good at his job.
Some credence to what you're saying. I was talking to my really close friend this morning on the way to our set, and she did say, she's like, because the woman that is one of his challengers, Christine Quinn, mm-hmm. she's like, she does not like her. She's like, she thinks her policies are horrible.
Yes.
So she was like, as between Christine and Anthony, she was like, I'm still trying to mess with him.
Yeah.
Now, here's my thing. My part of my issue is your judgment in this. That's where it comes. I don't know what his policies are as compared
but
to Christine.
But you, Preston, you know, sexual things we do from a sexual perspective are so different. You'll get up and take your kids to school every day and be the best mom. Somebody may fucking show up. I mean, it might be Tim McGraw. You might be going to the grocery store and he show up and them painting on jeans.
Yeah.
And you might lose your judgment for a minute.
At the end of the day, you're getting a dildo up your ass.
That has nothing to do with your job as a mom and a soccer coach.
Well, my point is this. I don't want to have to think about all that. I want to understand your judgment just across the board.
I agree.
I don't want to have to
this confuses
how you are as a mom, how you are as a politician.
This confuses
I don't want to think
it.
About that. So, my
you feel like
is,
they should be more, they should be a lot more intelligent so that things like that. That speaks to your intelligence. Like, you can hide this or you can control yourself.
No, it's literally, to me, it is about your judgment. So, you got caught and you apologized and you resigned.
And then you did it.
And then you did it again. Wait, knowing
not did it again. It was like you killed one person the first time and we were like, okay, nigga, you murdered somebody. It's like, he killed 20 people this time with these fucking text messages. I was like, shit. God damn.
Again, these wives, a lot of these wives know about it and it is okay.
Yeah.
They don't want to have sex with their husbands anyway. The world is not as Pollyanna as we think that it is. People are fucking. People are nasty. People are doing crazy stuff behind closed doors. It's not what you painted life to be. And I'm dealing with that right now.
Really do, yeah.
It's true. Life is not what you
think. Tina's nasty too. We're nasty together.
But I'm not as nasty as I should be.
We're available for parties.
No. No, I'm not.
She say that now. You the right number, we will be at that party.
I don't know where we're going now. I have no idea.
We will perform.
I have no idea where we are. And the thing
is, swallowing. There's all kinds of weird stuff.
Well. Anyway, the thing is, we have to stop putting this negative connotation about.
Yeah.
Sex. You know, maybe if we were all.
Preston, I agree with her.
It's not that I'm saying that we have to stop.
I know you're saying judgment.
No, I'm saying if you want to have be a public figure, if you want to be a politician, you want me to vote for you.
You got to be a lot more
shit private. Keep your freaky. Private.
But it's hard.
He tried.
Sex by nature involves more than one person.
So, but here's my thing. You are on. Oops, I messed up our time. You're like, that's online. You are now putting that.
That's why I don't understand how they tracked it back to him, because he was using an alias and they use an IP address.
Are you serious?
No, he used an alias. How do they know that that was him?
I could go call my 12-year-old cousin and he could figure out who's sending what.
No, I'm asking you, how do they know that that's him?
I guess he could argue that, I guess. But the thing is, what else can you do? He can't Skype. She could record that somehow.
That's what I'm saying, Kristen. There's nothing else you could do. I mean, short of... The thing is, the excitement, if you're a serial sexter, the excitement disappears if you have to say that to the person. Because the only time they see each other is in the workplace.
My point is, he has a problem. He has a problem. Stop doing that!
No, Kristen, I don't think he has a problem.
This is a problem!
He's fulfilling... Can I tell you something? He is doing something that, for a lot of people, it saves marriages. He was never, he has never had sex with that woman.
Okay, you know what?
He was fulfilling a fantasy without enacting it. And he was, that's something that he, and honestly, even though we don't see any chemistry between he and his wife, I don't know, but every time that woman tried to take it to the next level, he changed it. He twisted it in another direction where it was just like, we keeping this shit in the texting format. I'm not coming to
it's
satisfy.
Just an outlet. Okay, just stop, your outlet.
It was an outlet
stop
for him.
Stop running for public office. Stop running for public office. I don't like it.
I don't know
like
as much about him as like I do it. About Spencer.
Really?
I'm sorry, what is beeping?
I don't know.
The damn Time Nazi got a goddamn alarm on us right now.
That's not even my phone. Stop. I need that one. Stop.
Lord.
Stop. Stop.
What is happening?
So,
now that we got past that.
I'm sorry.
See, it's not me, y'all. It's her.
So, but I mean, there's history. There's a Bill Clinton got caught. Well, sort of, kind of. But he didn't resign. He kept it moving. But you haven't heard anything else since then.
So I guess what it comes down to, we need to have a talk as a community, as a world. People like to have sex with other people.
Yes.
They don't want to just be with their wife or their husband. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish. But evidently, come on. Let's all be honest here.
I forgive John people Edwards, for all
John,
set.
John Edwards' political career seems to be in the toilet.
Well, can I tell you why?
Because she was
John. Sick. No. John Edwards, let me tell you why his... Because he just built so much deception. It was almost like if he had initially admitted to it, we probably could have forgiven him. Men cheat on wives, babies pop up, it happens. But he made his fucking campaign manager pose as a father. He just took it to another level.
Everything,
and at that point, it's like...
so casual about that, though. What you just said, men cheat on their wives, babies pop up, motherfucker, grow up. No, stop it. I'm not... I guess people have sex, Tina. I get that. But I'm like, grow up. You made a commitment, and you have a responsibility. Stop it.
But Crescent, his wife had cancer.
Public arena.
His wife had cancer. Her libido may have disappeared as a result.
So what?
You got masturbate.
You said, I don't care.
Masturbate.
His sex.
Wait. A lot of those people that stay with their wives, and we know
that. I respect it.
And they look healthy. Okay, a lot of those people that stay with their wives, they're not men that you want to have sex with. Like, they start looking disgusting. You don't want them. As my father told me years ago, he was like,
John Edwards ain't a bad looking guy. He can go get something.
With the high testosterone that make it to those high public offices that are in these sports.
They're usually good looking guys.
Good looking, and they're having a lot of sex. Mm. That's the men you want. The ones that stay home and are faithful. You don't want them, Tina. You will never want them.
Okay, yeah.
I hope that's not the truth, but so far it has been the truth in this lifetime. People like sex, and I don't know how to solve this problem. It's disheartening to me too, Crescent, but it's just the truth. That's what we're dealing with.
It's not disheartening to me.
I want
to
develop.
We don't have an agreement. Either you get to do what you want to do on the side, and I get to do what I want to do on the side, or we say no, and I cut your shit off if it happens. There we go, right there.
Okay.
That's where we're at. Shit, so we need to, last remarks, go.
Looking forward to the next episode. Crescent won't be here, so that's going to be interesting. But just very excited that we made it 25 episodes. This all started. Crescent had an idea, and she mentioned it just really fleetingly.
We had a meeting.
No, I'm saying initially.
Oh, okay.
Initially, she just said it kind of just in passing. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like, niggas say shit all the time. So she just eventually it happened, and...
Here we are.
Our silver anniversary is next week, so please tune in. It's going to be a blast, and Crescent won't be here.
I have to go to home to do stuff, to Indiana. Mm-hmm. Tina, go.
I talk all that stuff, but I pray that there is a man that I can be totally honest with, and he can be honest with me, and the synergy of us making love together for the next 50 years of our lives makes us more powerful and stronger and healthier than any of this frivolous sex that everybody
what
is
if his
doing.
Balls start to sag?
Okay.
I don't mind saggy balls. I like
balls. I don't either.
I like big balls. I like hanging balls. I don't mind
them either.
Yeah.
Thank you for rolling with us.
Like, I love that.
Next weekend will be our 25th.
No comment
show.
On the ball.
No, whatsoever. Unfortunately, I
like
won't
that.
Be here. Danielle will be here, but it's gonna be a great show no matter what. And we'll see you guys next time. Say
tune in for new episodes every Monday at www.themadnesscollective.com. We out this bitch. West Side.
On my single we were here the same room. Job for about the breast. Yeah. Is this love that I'm feeling? Baby, is this love that I'm feeling? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I wanna know.